And welcome to the Journey 8, a ministry outreach of Life's Journey United Church of Christ in Burlington, North Carolina. I'm Reverend Judy Hosner, and I invite you to join us as we spend the next hour discovering music and thought-provoking conversation.
You down, knock you to the ground if you let it. We were made to overcome. Victory is won. Don't forget it. Well, it's the joy of being saved, being free from the grave. So come on, lift your eyes.
All right, and that is one of my all-time favorite songs. We use it a lot as the intro to the Journey 8, and I am Reverend Judy Hosner, and I believe my sister is going to come wandering in here at some point in time, and we're going to have a co-host. And a co-host is kind of like a host, but it's co-host. So anyway, she should be waddling in here at any moment. Before we get going, we have a great show tonight with interview with Mr. Eddie Mann, who I think you're going to really like. This gentleman, I've read his bio, I've listened to his music. He is what I would call a folksy, and this describes me, I love folk music, a folksy Christian, but he covers a lot of other ground. His music has really given me some focus on how to reach people concerning God from a different direction. And that's always good. So we're going to be talking to him in the second half of the show, or towards the second half of the show. Now, for all of you out there who still seem to be confused as to how many different places you can find me. And that's always a good thing. So, of course, the first and foremost place is our home. Our home address and our home being called the Journey 8. And the Journey 8's been around for 4 years now, going on 4 years. And most of our time has been spent here on BBS Radio. And I couldn't imagine that we would move anywhere else. They treat us well here. And if you're thinking about broadcasting your own show, these are the guys you want to talk to. Yeah. So the Journey 8 is kind of like the mothership who has come down and snatched me away. All for God, of course. Now, recently, I thought I would give my hand at iPod, doing some podding, as they say, and you can listen to this, and it's supposed to be humorous, so kind of take what's being said in a humorous slant to finding Jesus or reestablishing your relationship with Jesus, and go from there. It's called 99 Sheep, and 99 Sheep, the easiest way to find us is on our home platform. And you can just do penguins-fly, dash as in the thing dash. What is that called? Yeah, it's called a thing. So it's 90, it's called penguins-fly.podomatic.com. A Podomatic is one of the largest servers, or I guess that's what they're called, a server, for podcast. And they've done a okay job at trying to get me up and going here. So you'll find 99 Ship. I think we have like seven or eight episodes now. It's only a couple weeks old. Give us a try. See what you think, okay? And the last thing that ties back to the Journey 8 is that I wanted to provide for all of you that do a lot of listening to stuff on your phone, on that smartphone of yours. We went into Apple's, what is that called, the Apple Store for apps. And we had an app drawn up by a very nice company that gives you a one-button access to all of our archived shows. So if you download the app, which is free, the podcast is free. I haven't figured out how to charge anybody for anything, so most likely most everything I do is going to be free. And download that app. You'll see that you can then push any little button for an archived show and listen to it while you're in the car or sitting at the park or whatever. I thought it was kind of cool. So go to the App Store. I'm sure Google Play has it and everyone else. And download the icon for the Journey 8. Looks like our homepage at BBS. Same thing. Okay, so we once had, once upon a time, there was this fledgling little website called The Journey 8. And it kind of got abused and misused and unused. And so it was turned off. And people cried for where to find the homepage for the Journey 8. Now, there is a lot of information about the Journey 8 on our BBS website page. But, you know, that's just kind of a biography type thing. So we are in the process of reinstituting our official own Journey 8 website. And on that website, you're going to find information about the shows, how we pick people to be on the show, and the music and so on and so forth. How to contact me, how to send in suggestions for the show. I get a lot of people sending me text messages or emails about, things they'd like to hear or see. Well, you can't see. That's the thing. I'm sitting here in my pajamas, and you can't really see me, but it's kind of a, what do they call that? A saying that's just a general kind of saying. Oh, here comes my sister. Now I got to move my cat. Come on, Bit. Bits is the unofficial producer of the show. Come on, move. Mueva. It's such a great show, isn't it? You can have a cat and a sister. Let's see if she can get her earphones on. Did we wake you up? Can you hear?
Yeah.
All right. Put your microphone closer to you. All right. So this is my sister Nancy, who, when she's in town visiting me, I always grab her if it's a week that the show is on and make her co-host. She does it with joy.
With joy.
I paid her $20 to say that. So we're basically saying we'll have our website back up in December, and that's where you can write to me or my sister, who has just wealths of information about a plethora of things, and we'll go from there. Now, I was talking to someone a couple weeks ago, and they told me that they try and listen to the show, but they are in the middle of the country. So 8 p.m. Eastern time is not right. And, of course, 5 p.m. Pacific time is not right. Now, I don't know much about time zones. In fact, I don't know much at all.
Where is this going?
It's going to where I tried to tell him what time to listen to me, and I was about an hour and a half off. So I've taught myself the time zones. Are you proud of me, Sissy?
I am.
But don't ask me to repeat them. But I did teach them to me. So anyway, the important one is you're listening to me live. It's 8 p.m. Eastern time, 5 p.m. Pacific time. Anytime in between then,
they'll know.
They will know. You build it, they will come.
They will come.
So, Sissy, what's happening?
Who's Josephine?
Huh?
Who's Josephine?
I don't know who's where do you see that? Well, this is one of those mind games you're going to play on me because I don't know anybody by the name of Josephine. Oh, here she goes. Okay. There's a thing that there's a illness that my sister has that requires that she never stop laughing once she starts. And usually she has the whole room going.
What are you
by
talking
the
about
going.
Tonight?
We're going to meet in a couple of minutes and a great guy by the name of Eddie Mann, who is a folk Christian singer and songwriter.
I'm going to meet him?
Well, again, that's a figure of speech. Oh. We're going to meet his voice. How's
oh,
that?
Okay.
And actually, I'm going to ask him some questions about his music, and he has an album. This is interesting, y'all. He has an album that he's going to release on voting day.
Really?
And it's called Consequences.
Oh.
And so interesting, interesting concept, and we're going to ask him about that. So once again, my dear sister, what's new, Josephine?
See, there she is again. Who's Josephine?
I don't know. Okay, y'all.
I want to meet.
Who?
Josephine.
Well, you have to turn your channel over to 97.5. No. She left.
So when's he coming on?
He's coming on the second half of the show, which is just in a few minutes. I'm going to actually bring him in a little bit earlier because I was going to play one of his songs, but I'm going to try and sneak in a second song, too. So, Mr. Engineer, if you could try and dial up Mr. Mann, I would appreciate it. So as he's dialing and trying to bring him into the show, I will tell you... Our beloved Reverend Ellen Corica is coming back from a fun time on the road again. So hopefully she'll be able to sit down with us on the next show, which is November 7th. Yes, that's my cat. She's confirming.
Yes.
And talk to us about all the things she's been up to. Jen is finishing, look at that. Jen is finishing her bus for her tour starting in January. And we're all praying that that's going to work out fine. All right. So I believe we have Mr. Mann on the phone. Is that correct?
Yes, it is. Nice
all
to be
right.
With you.
Hi. How are you?
Wonderful. Thank you. And yourself?
Not bad for a decrepit old lady who loves to, who loves to hear voices. So I thought, and sometimes they actually talk back to me. So we wanted to spend some time to get to know you. Your manager put me in contact with all your info, and I said the Mixed Up Christian show that we have. And so I want to know from you a little bit of a bio. I have all kinds of pages here, but sometimes I like to hear it from the person. You know, how did you get started and where and how?
I was a painfully shy child. I really didn't express myself. I was very quiet and just lacked confidence until I picked up a guitar. And something, you know, at the time it seemed magical. Years later, I know it was a very spiritual thing, but it just allowed me to have a voice and to have confidence in myself. This was when I was in high school, and I really wasn't any good, but there was just something about holding the guitar in front of me that allowed me to get dates on the weekends and be able to have a voice and really start to enjoy life and experience it. And I had been brought up in a very wonderful home. My parents were right out of a situation kind of television show, you know, the perfect house. I never saw my parents argue or fight. And, you know, I was brought up in the church, so I had a foundation there. And so things were just kind of, you know, coming together as they would as a young man leaving high school, and almost like perfectly on cue, you know, I wandered off the path, as we're prone to do at times in our life. So, I spent a season being just a professional musician and traveling around, and it was during that time that I realized that my real passion musically was creating, was writing music and writing songs. And after a period of traveling, I met my wife. And when I met my wife, I was really ready to get married and have a family. And I wanted my kids to know what I looked like, and I didn't want to miss it. So I went back to school and became a teacher. I got a degree in education so that I could teach and I could be around my children. And it was during that time, as my children were growing up, that I had a free period one day. I was in the teacher's lounge. No one else was around, and I wrote a song called Swept Up in Joy. And I wrote that song probably in 4 or 5 minutes. And it was very much an epiphany type of moment for me. I remember coming home and telling my wife, I should be writing songs for God's kingdom. This is what I should have been doing my whole life. And from that moment on, I gave my gift to God. And it's been a wonderful ride. I initially had put together a little three-piece band that traveled around doing coffee houses and concerts and released a couple albums. And then I got a call one day from a pastor that I had never met, from a church that I had never attended. A CD found its way into his life, and he called me up and wanted to talk to me about a worship leader position, and I had no idea what that meant. I had found my way back to church before I met my wife, but we were supposed to have a half-hour meeting, and 3 hours later, I walked out of there, and I was a worship leader. And we really didn't have a good job description what it was yet, but I knew that I was going to help them start a new Saturday night service and a new Sunday service that was going to sound and look different than the traditional services. And it had an enormously powerful season as a worship leader, where I grew in my faith unbelievably. Leaps and bounds, and met people from across the country. I was at conferences every year, multiple conferences, and met fellow worship leaders and have just grew this wonderful accountability type of team, and just a family of men and women who were doing the same battle, so to speak, on Sunday mornings. And, during that time, I wrote and released, I think, 6, maybe 7 worship albums, and I had a wonderful run at the church. And it was only August, a little over a year ago, that I resigned from that position, and I felt God calling me to be more in the marketplace. It was time for me to go back and write some different type of music. and I write a lot of story type songs. Instead of worship songs, there's now songs about the kingdom, and they've been wonderful conversation starters. I can play these songs in secular places and open up conversations with people when they want to know what the songs are truly about. Hooking up with Michael, it's grown so much in the past 4 months or so that I've been with MTS. I've reached so many people in so many places a lot of them, the nice thing about it was that I think maybe 8 out of 10 interviews are at stations that aren't professing to be Christian stations, but they want to know who I am and what I'm about and how I got there. So that it always opens up that conversation. And I find myself doing exactly what I thought I was going to be doing, except I'm not doing it as many live dates as I am through interviews and online podcasts and things like that. And I still lead worship. I'm a guest leader, I 3 or 4 times a month. My wife and I have started a house church, so ministry is still at the forefront of my life. It's just that my musical journey has now ventured into a different season again. So I just feel very blessed and very excited. It's just been a wonderful ride so far.
So let me ask you, I've kind of followed a path similar to that, but not similar, in that I decided to do more of a ecumenical, evangelical, whatever, church without walls, And part of the Journey 8's purpose is to find people like you and other artists that have their special way of bringing God to people without smashing the Bible over their head.
Amen.
Okay. And I'm very untraditional, but that's my tradition, is to talk to people, find out where they're at, and then do what I can to help move them back in a path that we feel is more worthy of their energy in their life. What's your... What's your favorite thing you singing and all these things you do? What's the favorite thing or message that you have for people?
Well, I think the last album, I released an album about a year and a half ago called Big Love.
Yes, and we're going to play a song from that.
And it was just, it's really just filled with songs that are about an idyllic, peaceful, compassionate way to view the world. And at the time, I write all the time, so I don't write for specific projects per se. When it's time to write the next or record the next album, I go back and look at what I've been writing over the past season. And at that time, there's always a theme, and there was this real heavy theme through Big Love that I was really just reflecting on. What I was seeing going on in the world and what I was hearing going on in the world, and being a believer, I'm an optimist. I want to find the positive way. So each song dealt with trying to come to grips with the fact that we need to be more compassionate in our view of the world and each other, because I saw a world where if you and I had one thing that we didn't have in common, it would stop the conversation, and we couldn't move forward, and we would just depart, and we would completely dismiss all the things that we do have in common because of that one thing. And I thought, man, how foolish and how disappointing that must be for God to see his people reacting that way, when the things that we have, the things that are different about us, is what makes our world so colorful. We're not all completely identical. It's a positive. It's a good thing. It's a challenging thing. I love when people challenge my faith because it makes me rethink it. I'm offended by that. So, between that time and the new album, I'm releasing an album called The Consequence on November 8th on Election Day.
I think that's great.
And the Consequence was the next step. It's a little darker in places. It's a little slower at times, because even when we adopt or subscribe to a life of compassion and peace, we're still going to experience loss of jobs, and we're still going to experience bad health, and we're still going to have dark times. But the power of love is what has always gotten me through everything. And I want to share that with people. I want other people to understand that. I want other people to be able to enjoy that and be healed by it. So the Consequence was just really just a strong statement about the power of love in our lives. And the single itself, The Consequence, was just a way for me to try to strike a chord with people, that each one of us has the opportunity every day, all day long, to sway the consequences of the things that we come in contact with. We never have complete control of them, but the way we react, if we call ourselves a believer and a follower of Jesus, then the way we react to things, both physically and verbally, should be assigned to others of a different way of dealing with life. That's been the strongest message for me going forward. I've never really, because I've always just been about Jesus, and I've just been about finding a loving, peaceful, compassionate way to live. I've been able to work in every church setting I could think of, because they all have that in common. At its core, they all have that in common. So I've been able to leap over many fences that maybe if I thought about it, I wouldn't have done, but I've always... If it's there and the light's shining on it and the Spirit's saying go for it, then who am I to say no? I'm just going to go. I'm going to jump, and I'm not going to pull out that Moses card. I'm going to just jump at it and know that, and know that I'm supposed to be doing it. How can it be bad? It has to be good.
That's right.
So the power of love.
So what I'd like to do, with your permission, is to have our engineer cue up one of my favorite songs from your album, and it's Rise Up, and mm-hmm. I just think it has a strong message to those of us who are established Christians, those of us who say we're Christian but we don't really, practice much, and those of us who are still finding our way back or think mm-hmm. that we don't need to be Christian. So, Mr. Engineer, if you've got Rise Up, let's listen to it.
I wake up early just to find myself late. I'm definitely maybe gonna hurry and wait. Even when the world appears to be on my side, somehow all the honesty will only be denied. I'm feeling a darker shade of blue, but with your help I can see this through and rise up. For today is the day I'll rise up and walk the narrow way. I'll rise up and know what to say. I'll rise up and make a difference today. I went to bed so I could lie awake. I'm the definition of the perfect mistake. Even when I take the time to try my best, somehow I always find a way to fail the test. I'm feeling a darker shade of blue, but with your help I can see this through and rise up. For today is the day I'll rise up and walk the narrow way. I'll rise up and know what to say. I'll rise up and make a difference today. rise up. Rise up. Rise up. Rise up. Rise up. Rise up. For today is the day. Rise up.
The message with it can be taken in many different directions, but when you're down and you're out, when you've had a tough time, whatever it is, lost your job, lost your family, whatever, it's a strong message, and there's a couple of them, like the intro song we listened to today by Karen Williams. You know, you just got to get up and, mm-hmm. you know, rise up and put your faith in front of your feet and keep going.
Yep.
I'm trying to get the engineer to see if he can load another song. This is a sporadic kind of thing. I, you know, all of a sudden decided I want to try and play this if we had enough time between us.
Okay.
And it's another song from that album called Home Again. Mm-hmm. And I'd like you to explain Home Again to me.
Yeah, I there's something about even in a flesh, even if we talk about the world that we live in now, there's always this comfort about being home. I'm away right now. I'm taking a few weeks off before the release of the new album, and I'm really just taking a kind of a holiday. I'm on a barrier island in Florida, and I've been away for going on 4 weeks now. I had spent all time in Virginia and did a week in Nashville before I came down here, and we have been blessed. It's been beautiful. It's been great. But there's something about, in another 10 days or so, I'm going to head back north, and there's going to be something about being home again that just feels warm, that feels comfortable, that feels right. And that's, in a larger sense, what our faith is all about for me. It's being home again in God's arms. It's being home again where I know that it's not this whole life is not about me. It's about something much larger than me. It's being home right. again with someone who's always waiting there, just who can't wait to spend time with me. I mean, it's a God that created the universe, created all of this, and he can't wait for me to get home to hang out with him. I mean, just be in fellowship, not forget the praise and the worship. He just wants to hang out. And that's enormous for me. That just makes me want to love and be closer to him all the time. So the idea of being home again, look, we're all broken. We're all going astray. We all take the wrong exit once in a while. But, you know, we're fortunate in that we have a loving Father that just, you know, it remains there for us when we screw it up. For me, it's the best feeling in the world is to be home again in his arms.
Well, my engineer just told me I can't load in right at the moment, Home Again, but okay. I'm going to be asking you to come back, so we'll play that one. What we do have loaded already is Seize the Moment.
Okay.
Which I thought was kind of a cool song. And talking about being home again and stuff, my sister had to get up and run a chore, but my brother-in-law is here.
He doesn't speak very well.
Tell me, and his name is Dale. Tell me, Dale, how many years have you and my sister been married?
46 plus, yes. 46
wow. years of coming
Outstanding.
Home.
Outstanding.
Outstanding. It is. Because you go through good times and bad times and ups and downs. And
amen.
You know, it's obvious when you take and you find a couple, no matter, you know, what it appears on the outside, the inside is 46 years of coming home.
Yes, that's right. You know? You don't spend that much time together without knowing each other's worst side.
Right.
I mean, that's what love in marriage is. Just, you know, my wife and I are 26 years strong. I hope we can live long enough to do 46 and beyond.
It only gets better.
Yeah.
I'm into that. Sort of. I hear you.
Sort of, sometimes.
They just bought a little trailer, and they're going to go hopping around. They live in Florida, where I was raised. They're going to go hopping around.
Florida? What part of Florida? I'm actually in Melbourne Beach right now on the East Coast.
Oh.
Winter Springs.
Just
north of Orlando.
Okay.
North of Orlando, yeah. So,
scoot
on up here a little bit so you can hear your voice.
I can't move. My back hurts.
Oh, he can't move. His back hurts. He's lying. Yeah, so, you know, we moved down to Florida originally from Michigan when I was just a little tadpole of about 8 years old. And my sister never left. The rest of us went wandering on to colleges and places all over the place. But Orlando and that area is still pretty much home to me.
That's a great area.
You know, it is. You know, I think Florida in general gets a bad rap because everybody sees Florida as Disney World.
Yes.
And for those of us who were there before Disney World and the happiest place on earth. I'm sorry, what?
I've been blessed and been fortunate to come down for years. We've had our place since, 20 years or so. And it's only been the past two winters when I come down in February. I come down February and March each year, and I do ministry throughout the state, you know, over in Venice and up in Daytona and down in Lauderdale. So I'm always looking for churches and reaching out and doing shows. And it's been a wonderful, wonderful experience and a wonderful area for us.
When people get to know Florida the real way, it's a love affair that never breaks, you know?
Yep.
And it's home. It's coming home. I live in North Carolina, and I love it here in North Carolina. It's close enough to Florida that we can visit each other from time to time. So I always get to see my sister at least once a year, which to me is not enough, but, you know, we both have obligations.
I need to ask, were you far enough west, or did you get hit with Hurricane Matthew?
We got hit with about 5-6 inches of rain and some wind, but we're inland. You know, I'm just a little north of Greensboro. And Greensboro kind of sets in this little valley kind of thing. So these storms bounce off the coast, of course, tear the coast apart. This one came up and slapped Charlotte pretty bad. And then jumped over us. So we got a lot of rain and some wind, but nothing like Charlotte and the Raleigh area, which is east of us. It jumped right over us. And thank God for that.
That's a blessing in itself. Yes, that's a blessing. That's the same thing that happened with us. We got down here the Monday afterwards, and we had power. We had everything. You know, I lost a little hat that sits on top of my my bathroom fan. That was it. I've got a bucket over it now, the roof. But that's, I mean, considering what some people went through, I just felt so blessed, and I never want to complain to anybody about the little cleanup stuff.
Yeah.
You know, we were just, yeah, there's just some people that were hit so hard.
And whenever, you know, I think of earthquake, you know, I'm a transplant from 20-some years in California, and I've been through some pretty bad earthquakes. Mm. And, you know, whenever I think about where I've been throughout my life, you know, every place in the United States has something, tornadoes, earthquakes,
right.
Hurricanes. There's some kind of plague that you're going to, you know, get knocked with.
Zika? But,
Zika? What's that?
If you were in Florida, you'd know.
Oh, so. Oh, the mosquito thing, yes. So, you know, you got to have the faith that no matter where you're at, something could happen.
Yes.
And if it does happen, rise up, you know, just give it a shot. And can we play Seize the Moment? Would you let us play it?
You're asking me? Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. It's been a powerful song for me out in different venues that I've played. In fact, it's one that very often people want to know where the idea came from, what was the inspiration for it. So, absolutely.
Okay, Mr. Engineer, can you cue us up for Seize the Moment?
Just do it, Just do it. Just do it. Do it now. Just do it. Just do it. Just do it. Do it now. Seize the moment.
I love the background music to that song.
Well, thank you.
And
thank
it
you.
Reminds me, being basically a teenager and young college student of the 60s and 70s, it reminds me of a gentleman by the name of Dan Fogelberg. Mm. I don't know if you've ever heard of him, but that's who comes to mind when I hear your music.
I know of Dan Fogelberg. I was never a real big fan, but I do know who he is, absolutely.
Yeah. He's got that creative kind of spiritual but not spiritual kind of, you know, input to his songs. And he's, mm-hmm. you know, he wrote some amazing songs. All right. So, you know, we've learned a little bit about you in this encounter. The last thing I wanted to ask you about, you just won an award, I believe.
Yes, I was humbled out in Tennessee to win IMEA, International Music Entertainment Association. There it is. I was nominated and won for Adult Contemporary Artist of the Year. Which was a very humbling moment. I was in a category with seven other very, very talented people, and I was blessed. I was very blessed to be given an award, and it's you know, all our treasures are in heaven. We know that, but you know, mm-hmm. we are made of flesh. We live in a world like this, and I mean, all of us want to be recognized once in a while. That's human nature, I think. So it's nice when your peers recognize you or when you achieve something, especially in a...
I think it is.
For me.
Although
for
I've
me
never won any awards other than, you know... other than
well,
the lady who has way too many cats.
Well, I'm sure you have an enormous amount of treasures waiting for you. It was very humbling, and I was very appreciative. Of the whole evening. It was a very, very nice event.
Good. Well, what I'm going to do is ask you to return after the first of the year when, you know, all the holiday stuff, you know, settles down. And we'll talk about the album that's going to be released in a week or two and talk about where it came from and all that their stuff. And I'm hoping to have more of your music uploaded to the engineers before that so that we can mm-hmm. pick and choose.
That
I really
would be
enjoyed
wonderful.
It. Hmm?
I said that would be wonderful. I really appreciate the support.
Right.
I really do.
Well, I'll get a hold of Michael, and he's been great. He's offered, you know, a few people that have been just awesome, and you are one of them. I'm very moved by your dedication, and hope that you continue on the path that you have chosen. It's a good path.
Well, I appreciate those kind words.
Yes. Well, you're welcome. And we're going to sign off with you. In fact, we're going to sign off from the program here with a song from some guys that you might know. It's called Will of Titus. And they have a song on their album called Sleep Well. And it's a beautiful song. So I will say goodnight to you, Eddie Mann. Thank you for being on. And good night to all of you out there.
My pleasure. Look forward to hearing, talking with you again. Thank you again.
Thank you. All right.
Remember, it was designed for you. With every little step that you take,